Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. There we go. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Are you guys all excited?
Yes.
Wasn't the presence of the Lord amazing this morning?
Yes.
Guess what? He's still here. Amen. He's still here. There's an anointing, a breakthrough in this place this morning. Amen. And we want to honor Pastor George and Asia for their labor of love that they're doing here in La Belle with you guys. And you guys are the fruit of it. And there's nothing but greatness in store for all of you. Just let my wife say a few words before we get into the word.
Yes, it's so it's always exciting to be here, and it's so exciting. We honor you, Pastor George, Pastor Asia, for inviting us, for having us here. You know, we've known them for quite a while now, and you know, we're family. You know, we feel very much part of this family here in La Belle, the ministers, the people of God, their children, grandchildren, all of you. Some of you are new faces. There's lots of new faces here today, lots of young people, and the church has truly grown, right? We've prophesied, others have prophesied, they have prophesied, right? You all have prayed, and God is doing it, right? So give yourself a big hand today, amen, for what God is doing. He's doing some great things, and it's good to see the young people. It's so exciting to see the young people just serving God, you know, and young men worshiping and praising God. You know, I mean, guys could be doing all kinds of craziness. Girls can be doing all kinds of crazy. But what? You're in the house of God today. Amen. And the devil's lost and God has won. Come on. God has won. And for all those souls that were touched yesterday, you know, in La Belle, wherever we went, people were just greeting Pastor George, Pastor Asia. It means they have made a mark. You guys have made a mark in this community. You know, people know who you are. And you know what? A good name. To have a good name is so important. It's better than silver and gold. And so you have a good name. So let's pray as we get ready to receive your word today, Father. Father, we just want to give you thanks and praise for what you're going to do today in the word. God, we just yield to you, Holy Spirit, this morning. We yield to your presence. We know, Father, we cannot do anything without you. We totally depend upon you. We totally rely upon you. Lord, I pray for your servant, Lord God, Jay McKenzie, as he would minister your word this morning, God, that the word of God will fall upon good ground, Lord God. It'll multiply and it'll grow, God. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord will say to the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This one's a little bit. Glory to God. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yes, there it is. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, I believe we're in a crucial time. How many believe we're in a crucial time in the earth? Amen. And God is looking for, you know, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro across the whole earth, searching for someone whose heart is perfect towards him, that he may show himself mighty. Amen? So God's eye, the Father God, is looking all over the earth for individual people and bunches of people that he can use. Amen?
Amen.
Do we have anybody in here that want to be used of God?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I know I want to be used of God. None of us have arrived, right? Until we start all walking on water like Jesus, we got a little ways to go, amen, amen. So we all wanna please God. We all wanna be used of God, and there's a way that that we have to do it, because there are many things that the Bible says. But I think in this time, whenever we get into crucial times like what's happening in the earth right now, a lot of shakings, a lot of different things happening, we can sometimes lose focus that God is in control, right? And God has a plan, and his plan is that none should perish and all should come to the knowledge of the truth, right? And so if you have ever been in situations and stuff like that have been difficult, God wants you to know that you're on the right path. You made it this far, and there's more to go, and you're going to make it. Amen? Say, I'm going to make it. Amen. So Jesus is giving us an opportunity in this time to participate with what he's doing in the earth. The Lord is doing, getting ready to do, so he's already done great things. We're saved, right? We're in the kingdom. Amen. And he's getting ready to do some more great things to get more people into the kingdom. But whenever he's getting to do, getting ready to do more things, he needs the participation of the church. He needs the participation of his people. You see, Jesus is the head of the body, and we are his feet, his hands. We are every part of him in the earth for him to reach forth and touch people. Amen. And even as the Swamp Cabbage Festival is going on, this church is being used mightily to touch lives in this area. We've been coming here for so many years, and we've seen this community be at first an impoverished community where hardly anybody was living here. And we saw the potential, and God showed us the potential, and God showed Pastor George and Asia the potential, and they prayed. And you know how many of you know that the enemy wants to keep the world in bondage and poverty and lack and sickness? But Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. And God wanted life abundantly in this area, but somebody had to take the words of Jesus. Somebody had to take the words of Jesus and pray them over this community. Amen. Somebody had to walk in authority. You know, different churches may have been doing different things, but I'm telling you one thing, Life Ministries is a church that flows in the Spirit. Amen. And if you've recently joined this church, you're into a big deal. Let me say that. Because I remember when there wasn't even Walmart here. Come on, amen. And we saw them pray and call prosperity into this area. Next thing, there's a Walmart. Next thing, this is happening, that is happening. All kinds of demonic stuff is stopping. People are moving into the community exploding. Housing prices are going up. Well, that's a good thing and that's a bad thing. But anyway, but this is just the start of what God is doing in this area. Amen. There are many more souls to save. There are many more people to reach. And one of the things that you might say, well, how do I participate in what God wants to do? I'm just little old me. You know, you might be just attending, or you might be just new in the body of Christ, or you may be a young person. But I'm telling you something, God still wants to use you. And God has a strong and a perfect and a powerful destiny for this church. So what can you do? You see, the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to go into Philippians chapter 3 for a moment, because the Apostle Paul, he went through some stuff to get breakthrough in his regions, right? And we know he went from region to region. He went to different areas that there was no gospel. There was no knowledge of Jesus. There was just idolatry and worship of other gods and all kinds of bad stuff going on. But he would go into an area, and the first thing that he would do is he would start to pray. Amen? Amen. Come on. He would start to pray. Yes. And he didn't just pray little prayers. He prayed big prayers. You know, say big prayers. Prayers for the whole region. Prayers for souls to come into the kingdom. Prayers for strongholds to be broken over areas and regions. And whenever he did that, things started to move in the spirit. Demonic strongholds over people's lives. I remember, you know, he prayed in Ephesus, and people started to, they used to worship. You know, we were in Greece recently, and man, you know, people go there to see all the tourist stuff and all the temples and stuff, but there's a lot of demonic stuff in these areas, you know. There's temples to Diana, and these were demonic, you know, demonic principalities that people would worship in these areas, and some of these things were still standing. But when Paul and Silas and Timothy went into these areas, they would start to pray, and they would start to take authority over these spirits that ruled the areas, and then people would start to, then they would start to talk about Jesus and tell people about Jesus. And as they shared the gospel about Jesus, and as they prayed for people and people got healed, people would say, this Diana and this other god and these other gods have no power over this region. And I'm telling you that other gods, other demonic spirits have no power over La Belle and the surrounding areas, because this church is praying. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so people would burn the stuff that they used to read and the things that the idols they used to worship. They'd throw them in fire. And then Paul and Silas would get some persecution, and people would come against them because they'd say, well, you know, you're stopping us doing what we used to do. How many of you know the devil doesn't like when people stop what they used to do and start to serve Jesus? Right? But he doesn't matter. Amen? And Paul would set his face as a flint and say, you know what? It doesn't matter what other people are doing to me, what they've done to me. And some of them did some bad things to him. Amen? And maybe you, when you came into the kingdom of God, you might have suffered rejection from some of your buddies, some of your girlfriends, even some of your coworkers. Or when you share the gospel, some people may not like it that you're always, you know, you're that holy roller. You know, that one that's always talking about Jesus or dropping a scripture verse and then boom, you know, that's the way the kids do it nowadays, right? Boom, drop that mic. Yeah, so you may be that one where nobody likes and Paul was like that one. Well, you're in good company. You're just like the Apostle Paul. You're just like Timothy, amen? It's just a different generation. But people are still the same. And guess what? God has anointed you. Come on. God has anointed you to share his word, to walk in the spirit, to break bondages. Come on. Jesus said in Luke 4:18, the anointing, the spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Amen. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to open the blind eyes, to set the captives free. Amen. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Glory to God. Well, guess what? Anybody has the Spirit of God in them today?
Amen.
That is the same anointing
that
was in Jesus. Amen? Amen? The Bible says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead also quickens your mortal body.
Amen.
So if that anointing that was on Jesus, that he declares, the Lord has anointed me to do all these things, was in Jesus, do you have a junior anointing? Do you have a junior Holy Ghost? Oh, Jesus had the senior Holy Ghost. No, this isn't high school. Come on. Jesus isn't varsity and you're junior varsity. Come on. The same Spirit, Paul said, that raised Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. And that doesn't mean like just in the future when you get resurrected from the dead. It means he's in you now. Come on, just put your hands right here. Come on. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Come on. If you have the Holy Spirit in you and you have the gift of speaking tongues, let's just speak in tongues for a moment right now. Stir up the gift that's in you. Stir up the gift. Father, we stir that up now. And anybody that's not filled with the Holy Ghost right now, Father, I thank you that they have an encounter with you right now. I thank you, Lord God, that encounter would just, Lord, even here and even in their bedroom at night, Father, when nobody's looking, Holy Spirit, we're asking you, Lord God, let them feel your presence. Let them feel your anointing, Lord. Baptize them with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, you did it for me when I couldn't speak in the Spirit. You did it for me when I had challenges, Father. Lord, we ask you today, Jesus, that you just cause that anointing, Father God, to fall upon your people, Lord God. Give them the power. Give them the anointing, Lord God, of the anointing of the living God. Let it fall upon them right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, anoint them, Father God. Anoint them, Father God. Anoint them, Father God. Anoint them now, Lord. Anoint them now, and right now, Lord God. Let just release that upon them right now. In the name of Jesus. Woo, you just received an impartation.
Amen.
Glory to God. And you're going to see the fruit of that. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So Paul, no matter what he went through, you know, whatever he went through, he always made sure that he used a formula to make sure that he kept doing what he was doing. Amen?
Amen.
Because he went through some bad stuff. People didn't like what he said sometimes, and sometimes he had to really make sure that didn't weigh him down. You know, sometimes when the worst thing is like when somebody does something bad to you, and then, you know, the Bible says, when I was growing as a Christian, I look at what Jesus said, and some of the things he said was so hard to do. Bless those who curse you. Come on. Pray for those who despitefully use you. I said, Jesus, that's impossible. And then you'd read scriptures, with God all things are possible. I guess it's not, but how do I do that, right? How do I bless people that don't even like me, that are saying things about me, and those things keep ringing in your head, amen? And so we have to learn how to overcome the way Paul learned to overcome, because people didn't always like him, but guess what? He still prayed for them, amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. You know, the Jews rejected him, and he said, you know, I love them so much, even though they hate me, that I wish I could become cursed so that they could get into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
What kind of love is that? Amen?
Amen?
How did he do that? Well, it's the same way you and I have to do that. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. See, Paul always had his eye on Jesus. Paul always had his eye on the promise of the resurrection, that he would be resurrected and he would go to heaven. Amen? He always had his eye on that. And he was always striving towards that and making sure that nothing holds him back from getting to that place with Jesus. Amen? And the things that would try and hold him back, he recognized what he had to do. He says, brothers, I count not myself to have apprehended or laid a hold of this, but one thing I do. I forget the things that are behind me. I reach forward to those things that are before me. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Glory to God. So there are three things that Paul said he did. And there's three things that you have to do to overcome and to move forward in the things of God. The young ministers that just got ordained, they have overcome some things, but they still have to overcome some things. We have overcome some things, and we still have to overcome more things. You have overcome some things, and you're going to have to overcome more things so that you can serve Jesus effectively. And Paul says, the things that I do is I forget. The first thing I do is I forget.
Amen.
Come on. Now, what do you forget? You forget bad experiences, right? You forget things that people said against you that would make you have offense, right? You know, it's so easy in our soul to get offended when somebody says something bad about us, right? You know, sometimes people have betrayed you, or sometimes people have persecuted you. Sometimes people have spoke bad things about you, or sometimes just bad stuff happened. You know, maybe some of you experienced a loss of a loved one during COVID, and maybe you're thinking, well, why did that happen? And maybe that's holding you back. You know, maybe somebody lost a job or is in peril of losing a job or something. And why is that happening? You know, whenever bad things happen, Paul said, you got to forget them. They're just part of the enemy's tactics to hold you back from serving God and serving his people.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
The Bible says, do not be ignorant of the devil's devices. So when he brings bad stuff, Paul said, you know, bad stuff happened to me, but the one thing I do is I forget it.
Amen.
Come on. I forget the bad stuff. You ever heard somebody looks at life through rose-colored glasses? That's the way Paul was. You know, he didn't say the bad stuff didn't happen. He chose to forget them, right? The Greek word for forget is to cast it out of your mind. Whew. Say, cast it out of your mind. That means like you just, you know, like when something is not useful, you say, I'm going to just throw that away. Some bad memories, some bad stuff, you got to just say, I'm going to throw it away. I'm going to fling it away. Amen? And so that's what we got to do. We have authority over our minds. Come on. We have authority over minds. Say, I have authority over my mind. Come on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, Paul told us how to war over our minds. 2 Corinthians 10, 4, 5, and 6 says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. You know, to the casting down of imaginations, right? You know, you got to cast down. When the enemy brings up bad stuff, bad memories, you got to say, you know what? I choose to forget that, and I choose to remember the good stuff. Come on. I declare over you right now in the name of Jesus. In fact, you say this with me. Father God, I thank you that every bad experience that the enemy has put in my mind to try and cause me to fall, I cast it out of my mind right now. I choose not to forget it. Or I choose to forget it. Just like God cast away my sins and remembers it no more, I choose to cast away every hurt, every pain, every disappointment, everything, every failure that the enemy would try and bring up And Lord God, when other people bring it up, I won't meditate on it. I will continue to cast it down in Jesus' name, because I'm going to have success in my life for Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. You say you got to cast it down to move forward. You got to amen. 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 And then Paul says, not only do you forget the bad stuff, you've got to reach for good stuff. Amen. He says, I reach. Come on, say reach. He said, I reach for the things that are before me. What's before you? Do you have a future? Come on. Do you have a future? Do you have some plans that you want to achieve? Amen. So Paul says, you know what? God has given me an assignment. And I'm going to reach for that assignment. I'm going to forget bad. It doesn't matter what comes in my way. I'm going to reach for that assignment. Amen. Glory to God. How do you know what God, what do you reach for? You reach for the promises of God. Amen. If God has promised you health, you get every health scripture in the Bible. And you start to speak that over yourself. Amen. God desires above all else that I prosper and be in health, even as my soul prosper. You get that in your spirit. 3 John 2. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You get that. God wants me to prosper and be in health. I declare I'm healthy. Amen. God shall put none of the sickness upon me that came upon the Egyptians. I walk in a divine health. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You just put the, you know, Jesus bore my sicknesses and disease, and by his stripes I am healed. You get that in your spirit. Amen. Amen. Come on. Healing is the children's bread. Hallelujah. Come. You reach for that promise. Amen. Glory to God. You're suffering any kind of a lack or any kind of lack of abundance, lack of a job. Come on, you just get that. You reach for the word of God. Amen. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh me rich and adds no sorrow with it. I don't care that nobody in my family has ever been rich. I am blessed of God, and the blessing of the Lord is on my life. And somehow God's going to move stuff out of my way so that I can walk in the goodness and the riches of God. Amen. Come on, we got to reach for the promises, amen? Hallelujah, glory to God. You're looking for a wife, you're looking for a husband, come on, anybody in here? Come on, some of you are already settled down, or some of you might be middle-aged and single, but guess what? The Bible says the blessing of the Lord, come on, he says he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Whew, hallelujah. I like that one. Amen. Come on. Your life changes. When you start to, come on, if you're looking for a wife or a husband, if you're a young lady right now, come on, and you believe you're supposed to be married, you gotta declare I'm somebody's good thing. Don't wait for some bozo to find you, you know. Just you be a good thing. Amen. Come on, hallelujah. Because when somebody sees you, they're going to say, man, you know, I'm going to have favor if I'm with that girl. You know, she's a good thing. Ooh, I see those eyes. I see. You found your good thing, right? Amen. Come on. Who finds a wife finds a good thing. So those are things we got to reach for in this life. See, Jesus came that we might have life and life more abundantly. And he doesn't want us to go through life remembering bad stuff and never thinking any good stuff's going to happen. He wants us to go through life forgetting bad stuff and reaching for good stuff that he's promised. Amen. Hallelujah. He does, you know, who's going to come to Jesus if all his people are a bunch of sourpusses? You know? Come with me to church. You're going to be very happy. You're going to be glad you did. No. I remember there was a young man, and this guy we know, he was from like New Smyrna Beach, and he was like a surfer dude, you know? Blonde hair down to his shoulders, and he just walked around. Hey, dude, do you know about Jesus? Hey, man, you know about Jesus? He'd go into the bars in Orlando on a Saturday night evangelizing. I mean, super hard. And he'd be winning people to the Lord. And this one guy named Chris, he was the bartender, and he was pushing drugs And he listened to this guy share the gospel. And he was so skeptical, you know? And one night, he finally waited till everybody left. And he came up to Phil and he says, "Phil, is this thing about Jesus true?" He says, "Yeah, man, Jesus is everything, man. You just accept him and your life is going to change, dude." And so Chris, he shook his head and he said, "I don't know." And so Phil says, "Let me pick you up and take you to church in the morning." So the next morning, Chris, not expecting Phil to show up, he's knocking on his door, and he wouldn't get up. He knocked and knocked until the guy opened the door. He said, "Man, I told you I'd pick you up and go to church." And, "Man, it's early in the morning." "No, we're going to church, man." And so he convinced him. He puts him in the car, and Chris is still groggy in the back of the car. He said, "I'll stop by McDonald's and get some coffee." They stop at McDonald's. They get some coffee. And while the windows roll down, Chris is yelling to the attendant at McDonald's, "Call the cops. I've been kidnapped. So now they go into church. Come on. And this is the beauty of God. This is the beauty of reaching for promises. See, Phil had an assignment in his life to reach people, amen, and win them to the Lord. And he brings Chris to church, right? And the worship is going on, and it's beautiful worship. And midway through the service, Chris falls on his knees. He goes to the altar. He gets baptized in the Holy Ghost right there at the altar. The service is over. He's still out on the floor. Nobody laid hands on him. Amen? They had to pull him out. They had to lift him to the car and take him to the car so the second service could start. Amen? My God. God is so amazing. Amen? You know, and so now the story doesn't end there because, you know, the way we found about this is Chris comes to our church one day. One of the drummer brought him to church, and Chris comes to church, and my wife gives him a prophetic word, and she does this demonstration. She tells all the men, hold Chris around his leg and lift him up. And she starts to prophesy and said, God's going to lift you up and raise you up, and he's going to use you to lead people, and he's going to do this and this and that. And after we put him down, Chris said, "I don't know how you knew that, but, you know," he tells us the story of how he got saved. And he said, "After that happened to me, I accepted Jesus. I stopped working at the bar. I stopped pushing drugs. My girlfriend left me. I didn't have any money, but I got into the Word." And he says, "I'm leaving Orlando to go to Bible school in California." Amen. And 2 years later, I'm working in a ministry, and one of the people from that Bible school came in from California and said, I said, "Do you know Chris so-and-so?" He said, "Yes, he just graduated from Bible school. My wife had prophesied he was going to be wealthy." He said, "A businessman in California took him under his wing and mentored him, and now he's a serious businessman, and he also leads mission trips to Nepal." Come on. Amen? So I'm telling you, when you start to reach for God's promises, there is no end in sight. Amen? I want to motivate you this morning. You know, when you see a promise in the Word of God and you feel the anointing on it as you read it, just reach for it. Amen? Say, "Father God, I want that. Father God, let that be in me." Amen? Hallelujah. See, that's the mindset you have to have. "Let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Amen? Hallelujah. See, Jesus didn't say, "Well, God is the only one that heals, so I better not do that." Jesus said, "You know what? God has anointed me. And whatever God does and wants done in the earth, I'm going to do." And he's saying, "Let that same mind be in you." Amen? Let that mind say. Put your hand right over your head right now. Put your hand on your mind right now. The center of your thought. The center of your thought right here. Glory to God. And say, "Father God, I thank you that you're renewing my mind. As I hear your word, my mind is being transformed into the mind of Christ. My thinking is being realigned with your word so that I can perform things in your spirit and under your anointing that would seem to be impossible. The supernatural is where I live, and the power of God and the anointing of God is upon my life with God, Nothing shall be impossible in Jesus' name. Whoa, hallelujah. Woo, come on, give the Lord a hand clap this morning. He's worthy. He's worthy. Come on, hallelujah. So God, Paul said to forget, he said to reach, but then the last thing that he said, I want you to press, amen? Press. Glory to God. Now when you forget, you know, the Greek word is a one-time thing, you forget. You reach, it's a one-time thing. But press now is a continuous pressing. It's not a one-time thing because there's always going to be things trying to come against you. Amen? So Paul says, whenever things come against you, press. Amen? That means reach, move forward against it. Whew. Come on, hallelujah. Paul said, having done all to stand, I stand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Having on the whole armor of God, I stand. Glory to God. Stand means, you know what? Something's pressing against me, but I'm pressing against it. Amen? Whew, hallelujah. I'm pressing forward. I'm moving forward. Amen? Hallelujah. So it means to follow, to press for an extended period of time. See, God is never satisfied with the status quo, and neither should we. Come on, when it seems like there's a stalemate and you can't move forward, you get into that word, you go into prayer, and you press until it comes to pass. Amen? God has big plans for this church. He has big plans for you as well. You're part of the church. In fact, you are the church. The individuals are the church. You are the ecclesia of God. Hallelujah. Woo. Ecclesia means that the ones that have been called out. Woo. You know, somebody say, I'm calling you out. But God called you out. Amen. He called you into authority. Amen. There are people to save, people to heal, people to deliver, people to be restored, people to train. Amen. This church is a pressing church. So how do we press? We press by studying the word. There are four things that I want you, if you're taking notes, there are four things that you should do to press. First of all, you press by meditating or studying the word of God. Amen. You press by studying or meditating on the word of God. The second thing you do is you press by staying pure. Whew. That's something that the world tries to contaminate you with all kinds of things, but you got to stay pure. Amen? To be successful in God, you got to stay pure. You press by staying pure. You press by practicing intimacy with Jesus. See, when we're in worship, and the worship was so beautiful this morning, you know, when we're in worship, when those chiffons are billowing and the presence of God is there, hallelujah, you've got to take advantage of every opportunity to get closer. You know, it's like when God is moving, he's giving us opportunities to advance. And we got to be so sensitive to realize that, you know, if I take this, you see, we don't know sometimes what door he's opening, but Jesus says, the door I open, no man can shut. And when we walk through spiritual doors, natural things happen for us to have breakthrough. The church is a portal into your breakthrough. The presence of God is a portal. A portal is a doorway. The church is a doorway. As we come together and worship, doors are being opened for what's going to happen to you next week, next month. Glory to God. Amen? So it's so important that we do that, that we practice intimacy with Jesus. And the last thing that we have to do to press is get equipped in our spiritual gifts. Amen? Every time there's teaching on how to share the prophetic word, teaching on how to lay hands on the sick, teaching on how to speak in tongues. Maybe you never spoke in tongues. You know, all these things God wants us to, for us to advance, we got to do these things. Amen. That's pressing. You know, when I grew up as a Methodist, last story, I grew up as a Methodist, right? And Methodists, you know, the ones I came from anyway, we never spoke in tongues, right? We never even heard about speaking in tongues. In fact, when my wife got saved, you know, and she got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know, she had gone to my mother's church in another city, and she came back to me, and she said, I got saved. I said, from what? Because we didn't get saved. We were just, we knew we were Christians from we were babies, right? So and then she says that, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, "You got filled with what?" Because I didn't believe in ghosts, holy or otherwise, right? And she said, "And I speak in tongues. Do you want to hear me?" I said, "No." "You're gonna freak me out. Are you possessed or what?" You know? See, that's what lack of teaching will do. The Holy Ghost, the consecrated Spirit of God, was on her and in her, and here I am afraid of the consecrated Holy Spirit of God that filled Jesus, that did works through Jesus, and now she's filled and she's anointed, and I'm saying, "No, I don't want that." You know? But she wanted it, and she pressed. And you know, for 4 years she prayed for me until I had a revelation of who Jesus was, accepted him, and I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Whew. So that's what forgetting, you know, and the thing is, she had to forget some stuff, because like I would come against her. I would speak against what she was doing. For years, I would speak against, you know, "What you're doing. I don't believe in all that stuff, da, 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 da." And she had to forget that and just love me. Forget that and just love me. Come on. If you're having difficulty with marriages right now, if you're having difficulties with your children right now, forget and love. Forget and love. Forget and love. Amen? Forget and love. And keep pressing. Amen? Keep pressing for... See, when I rejected what she was doing, you know what she was doing? Getting prophetic training. You know, when I rejected what she was doing, you know what she was doing? Going to prayer meeting and learn how to pray. When I rejected what she was doing, you know what she was doing? Going overseas to missions and establishing churches with her pastor. You know, so she never stopped pressing. Yeah. Glory to God. And guess what? Out of her intercession came me, who's now a presser. Amen. Come on. Amen. Amen. And God's going to do the same for you. Amen? Young man, young woman, I just believe that the Lord is doing a mighty work in your life at this time. He's raising up. There's a hunger that he's putting inside you for change, and a hunger to move forward in God. And God says that it's time for you to step into your destiny. There's a destiny that he has for you, and the enemy's tried to hold you back, but you made a good decision when you started to serve the Lord, both of you, and you're going to walk forward together. So the Lord says, continue to press, because I've called you before the foundation of the world, and don't let any distractions come in your way, because I have a great destiny for your life. Amen? Amen. You have some words for some people?
We're going to call the band to come forward, right? And we're going to worship the Lord. And if usually I think if people are free to go, or people are free to stay, is that how you do it? They can stay for worship, and it will minister to some of you. You know, I was, you know, people look at my husband and I, you know, this year will be 47 years we've been married, okay? 47 years. That's a long time. Some of you aren't even 47 years in this place, right? And we dated like for 4 years before that. So this year will be 51 years we've been together. It's a long time, right? And so the thing is, they ask us, how do you stay that way? How do you stay being together for so long? And I say to the married couples and those of you that are friends with one another, you remain flexible and forgiving. Flexible and forgive. If you're not flexible, if you are not flexible, hello, it's not going to work. You got to be flexible. I got to be flexible with him. He's got to be flexible. Okay, I'll give you an example. When we're going away, I just pack one small bag, right? And he packs a bunch of clothes. Guys like to pack a lot. He says, "I just put a bunch of stuff in here because I don't know if I'm going to need that and I'm going to need that." And when I ask him for something, he says, "You know what? You see, you needed that, right? Because I packed extra stuff, right? You know, I packed extra stuff, you know?" And so the thing is, I had to be flexible because, you know, I have to be flexible because he's not like me. We never want anybody to be, you know, we're not clones. Think about what was the thing that you saw about that person the first time when you saw them and you wanted them. You wanted to be with them. You have to remember those things and say, "You know what? I'm going to remember the good things. and then forgiving. Wow, if you don't forgive, then, you know, you, because you know what, you're going to mess up. Just know one thing, and I'll say this. Just know this one thing. Sometimes your husband or wife may say something to you and it will irk you. But just remember, when if he says something and it bothers me, I have to say, you know what, Dad, he never meant that. He just was in a moment. In a, he just had a little moment there. Because you know what, I remember, I have to know he loves me. So he just had a moment. So you're going to want, you're going to forget it. And if I said something that bothered him, he's going to say, you know what? That's not what you really meant. Forgive one another. Say forgive. Come on, you're going to do that? Be flexible and what? Forgiving. Flexible and forgiving. Today, I want to pray for the young people in here today. There's a lot of youth in here today. So I felt led to call up the youth. If you're a young person today and you want to come to, not kids, but I mean, if kids want to come up too, we want to pray. We want to lay hands on some of you youth today. So if you're a youth in this place, come on up. Because come on up, guys, girls, y'all want to come on up. We want to pray for you all. A young person here today, because God wants to baptize. There's so many young people in here that God wants to pour his fire. Just make a line. Oh, they made a line. Let's make a line, young people. One line. You all can do.